Well, good morning. How's everyone this morning? You're doing well? It is so good to be back at Bethel. I just love being here. It's one of my favorite churches in all of the world. It's one of my definite favorite places to come and worship the Lord and to teach God's Word. You guys are just amazing. Thank you for letting me come back. Pastor Blaine, thank you for your gracious invitation. I follow you every week, see what God's doing. It's so exciting. It's the first time I've been back since the new redesign, the worship center. Great job. Woo, very good job. I love it. Very nice. And I got into South Louisiana Friday morning. A buddy of mine picked me up in Lafayette. And first thing we did, we got things in order. I got some seafood gumbo. I got some fried catfish. And then got to hang out Friday night with Pastor Chris and some of the discipleship group leaders here. We had some jambalaya and some boudin. Can you say amen? Amen. And then last night, I OD'd on crawfish. So it's been a great, great weekend so far, but it's just getting going. Are you ready to study God's Word today? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. God is so good. We sang about Him being a good, good Father. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's safe to be in God's presence today? Do you believe it's safe to approach Him as Father today? He is a good, good Father. He is. And it's safe. He wants you to know this morning that He is approachable. In fact, He is pursuing you this morning. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants you to know that it's a safe place for you to be today. It's in His presence. And He wants to speak to your heart out of a love relationship. He doesn't want to speak to your heart out of legalism and a bunch of rules. He wants to speak to your heart this morning from His Word, through His Spirit, out of a love relationship with you. He cares about you. And this morning we're going to answer the question again, what if? What if we begin to live the way Jesus wants us to live in caring for other people? And we're going to compare and contrast religion versus relationship. Religion versus relationship. And I believe that so many of us, so many times in our life, and we're the last to know what's happening, are tied up in the straitjacket of religion. We find ourselves bound up, tied in the back, and we can't get out of this straitjacket called religion. Religion is not why Jesus came to earth. Religion, Jesus didn't come to earth to bring religion. He came to bring us a relationship with God the Father, Jehovah God, who has loved us, who has always existed and always known us and cares about us so much that He sent His only Son to die in our place. He wants us to walk and live in relationship with Him. Do you believe that today? But I want to say this morning, there's a little religion in every one of us. There's an old saying that says there's a little bit of a Pharisee in every one of us. Do you believe that? Would you agree with that? I know it's true in my life. There's a little Pharisee in my life. If I'm not careful, that Pharisee, that religious attitude, that spirit of religion wants to just rear up in my life and take control and overcome the relationship that God wants us to have with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the indwelling Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to live in relationship, not religion. I want to live in relationship with God. So could you do me a favor this morning as we get going? It's safe. It's okay. And nothing's going to happen to you by doing this. But would you just take your hands and open them up and place them like this right now? Everyone, come on. I promise you, you'll be okay. You will. You can stay like this if you want, but go ahead and do this. Come on. Oh, are you okay? Nothing's happened? All right. We're safe. We're good. Okay. Now, right here, while your hands are like this, you know, we're not like this. This is religion, but like this. I want you to say these two words to the Lord. More, Lord. Come on, say it again. More, Lord. Let's say it again. More, Lord. More of Him in our lives. We've got to open ourselves up to Him this morning and see what He wants to do. Luke chapter 10. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And I want to read a story that may be familiar to a lot of us in the room, and it may be brand new for some of you. But it's a great story. Beginning in verse 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking Him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?
The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live.
The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he took the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus says, yes, now go and do the same. Jesus, thank you for your example, your teaching. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, make much of Jesus in this room today in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Let's go back to verse 25. We're going to walk through this text. One day, an expert in religious law. This guy knew the Old Testament. He knew the first books, 5 books of the Old Testament, probably by memory. And the setting here is they're sitting around and Jesus is having a conversation with all these Jewish people. And he's having this conversation. And while he's having this conversation, this expert in the Jewish law, how many of you know an expert in something and they want you to know they're an expert in something? You know someone like that? You know what I'm talking about? Yes. And none of you, is it just me that knows someone like that? Okay. We all know someone who's an expert and wants us to know they're an expert. Well, that was this guy. He stood up in the circle while everyone's sitting down. He stood up. When someone stands up in a setting like that, what does it mean? It usually means they have an agenda. They have an agenda. Before this religious man, this expert in religious law, is the Son of God, the Messiah, and he does not even recognize him as God's Son, as the Messiah, who his Old Testament scriptures have prophesied would come, but he has an agenda, and he stands up in front of everyone, in front of Jesus, and he looks at Jesus and asks him a question. Teacher, Rabbi, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this expert in religious law knew the answer to this question. He probably had heard Jesus give the answer to this question on other occasions. But he had an agenda and he asked this question. And I love when Jesus gets asked a question, he never freaks out. He never breaks into a sweat. He never says, oh, no, what am I going to do now? They've asked a really difficult question. He just responds with another question. Hey, you're an expert in the Jewish law. What does the word say? And this expert in the Jewish law, just like Jesus knew he would do, he responds with a passage of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6 called the Shema. Shema. Will you say that with me? Shema. Oh, we can do that. Come on. It's almost like Shab Baby, but it's Shema. Okay, are you ready? Shema. One more time. Shema. He responds with Deuteronomy 6. 5, okay? It says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And then he adds Leviticus 19:18, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law can be summed up in these 2 commands. Love God with the entirety of your heart and entirety of your being, with all of yourself, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responded to him, right. You're right, expert in the Jewish law. You're right. Do this and you will live. Now, we'll talk more about what Jesus meant by this. Do this and you will live. He was saying that, but what he was really trying to say, this guy, I have come because you can't do this.
If you could, you could do it and live. But because you can't, that is the reason that Isaiah prophesied, I must come and be a sacrificial lamb. I have come to give my life because you can't love God with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. But look how this expert in Jewish law responds. The man wanted to justify his actions. He wanted to justify his lifestyle. He wanted to justify asking this teacher, how shall a person inherit eternal life? He wanted to justify his life. You see, instead of responding in brokenness and humility before the Messiah and admitting there's no way I can love God with all of my being, and there's no way I can love my neighbors, myself perfectly, instead of falling on his knees and saying, I need a Savior, he rises up in more religious pride. And he wants to justify himself. You see, there was a spirit of religion on this expert in Jewish law. He was so religious, he couldn't see God standing right in front of him. Are you with me? You know that happens in our lives. We get so religious sometimes, we can't see God standing right in front of us, wanting to speak to our hearts and embrace us with a loving relationship and say, I love you. Just relax in me. I love you. This guy was so filled with a spirit of religion and pride, he wanted to justify himself. So he pushes a little farther on the Messiah, Jesus, and says, who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus replied with a story. Don't you love how Jesus responds to people? Responds to a question with a question. He responds to a question with a story. And listen, when Jesus brings a story, wake up. Your life is about to be impacted. Wake up. He's got some spiritual truth he's about to deliver to you that's going to be powerful. Now listen, this expert in the Jewish law had already been described by Jesus in this chapter in verse 21. Go back to verse 21. Jesus says, O Father, speaking to God, Lord of heavens and earth, thank you for hiding these sayings from those who think themselves wise and clever. Did you get that? Those who think themselves wise and clever. Those who think themselves as being maybe better than others and knowing more than others. Full of pride and a religious spirit. Thank you, Father, for hiding these things from them and for revealing them to the childlike. Remember, Jesus says the only way we can come to the Father is to come like a little child. Fully trusting. With full faith. Fully trusting. No agenda. Don't you love children? They just have no agenda. They just come fully trusting. No agenda whatsoever. They just want to love you and they want to be loved. Don't you love that? Jesus, God was blinding the eyes of this religious man because of his pride and his spirit of religion. So Jesus responds to his question, who is my neighbor? With a story. I love the story. This Jewish man is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about a 17-mile journey, descending in about 3,300 feet all the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while he's going, he gets robbed. He gets beaten. His clothes are stolen. He's half dead, left alongside the road. Along comes this priest who probably had been in Jerusalem at the temple practicing, doing his priestly duties that day, and he's heading to his home in the countryside. And as he's walking along, he sees his fellow Jewish person who has been beaten, robbed, and left half dead alongside the road. And for whatever reason, we don't know why, but this Jewish priest walks on the other side of the road and just keeps on going. Now, before we get all mad at him, we'll see in a little bit that we do the same thing. Okay? All right? Can we see? Yes? Huh? We've done the same thing. I've done it recently. Okay? He just walks on the side of the road and keeps going. Next comes a Levite. Now, the Levite wasn't quite as high in position as the priest in the temple, but he assisted the priest in the temple. And he was the liturgical assistant. Okay? He led the worship, helped with the worship in the temple. And he, too, comes alone and he sees his fellow Jew that's been robbed and beaten and left half dead alongside the road. And he goes over a little closer and takes a look at him. But then he too goes to the other side of the road and just goes on his way.
Now this expert in the Jewish law and this Jewish listeners are now ready for the grand conclusion of the story. They're so excited because they are assured, they believe with all their being that Jesus is going to say this. A Jewish layman came along and he showed up the priest and the Levite, and he is the hero of the story. He loved his neighbor as himself. That's what they're expecting. That's not what they're going to get. Because in this story, Jesus turns their world upside down, and the hero of the story is a Samaritan man. The Jews despise the Samaritans. One of their favorite Jewish prayers ended like this: "And Lord, do not let the Cuthites enter into the resurrection." The Cuthites, the Samaritans, do not let them go into the resurrection, Lord. They despise the Samaritans. And when Jesus says that the hero of the story is a Samaritan, to these Jewish listeners, it's like a punch in the gut. They have just lost their breath. They don't know what to think. Their world is turned upside down. Who is this teacher? And how could a Samaritan be the hero of the story? How could it be? You see, the power of this story is found in the pervasive influence of the Shema. Love God with the entirety of your soul, your heart, your mind, your strength. And then Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that morning, the Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite, the Levite, had both recited that prayer to God. They had both recited the Shema to God that morning. That evening at sunset, both the priest and the Levite and every good Israelite would recite the Shema again to God. And sandwiched between their pious declarations of their love for God was their absolute unavailableness to a man who was robbed, beaten, and left half dead alongside the road. And there absolutely no compassion. Sam, in the morning and in the evening, they declared their love for God. You see, I'm convinced in my life, I can't speak for you, but I know Kyle Wall decently well. And I'm convinced in my life, there are times that I love the idea that I love people much more than I actually love people. Are you with me? I love the idea. I like to think of myself, sit around sometimes and think of myself, man, I really love people and I'm their benefactor much more than I actually love people. This had to be an intense moment for this expert in Jewish law, because you see, everything about him declared his love for God. Most likely he had on his forehead what's called a phylactery. A phylactery was a black calfskin box that they would attach to their forehead. And when they were very religious, they would attach it to their forehead. And inside that calfskin box was the words of the Shema. Love the Lord your God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was attached to his forehead. And that was a symbolic obedience to Deuteronomy 6:6-8, the verses after the Shema, which says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you go to bed, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Everything about this expert in the Jewish law said, I love God with the totality of my being, except his actions. Everything about this priest and this Levite said, I love God with the totality of my being, except their actions. And in this story, the expert in Jewish law and his
his friends had so narrowly defined who their neighbor was that they felt with all of their being that they loved God and they loved their neighbor. Jesus took this story and he turned their world upside down and says, no, you are to be a neighbor to anyone you come along in your path who is hurting, regardless of race, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what their political views may be. You are to be a neighbor to those people. And in doing that, you will show your love for the Father.
You know, my wife and I now have been married for 30 plus years. We're in our 31st year. I know it's hard to believe. We got married at 10. I look so young. But we've been married for a long time. And, you know, there's been times through the years. I'm sure none of you gentlemen have ever heard this. But there have been moments through the years when my wife said to me, Kyle, don't tell me you love me. Show me. I think she's from Missouri, the show me state. You know what I'm talking about? Show me you love me. Don't tell me. Show me. And this is a powerful story for us. It's a powerful story for our day, 21st century. March 2017. For like this expert in Jewish law, we too have phylacteries that we don't wear a box on our forehead. Aren't you thankful for that? But we wear caps with Jesus symbols and Jesus sayings on them. Are you with me? We wear wristbands that say, I love Jesus, WWJD. And we put fish on our back of our cars. And we put honk if you love Jesus and all this stuff. And we go on social media and we use all these twibbons and say that we love Jesus and we are radical for Jesus. We love Jesus with all our being. And then we begin to talk about someone else on social media in a way that's not loving. You see what we do? You see, it's easy to talk about loving people. It's a whole lot harder for it to be real in our lives. We come and we worship God and we declare to God that, God, I love you with the totality of my being. But then we walk out and we walk by people who are hurting. And Jesus says in this story, we show that we truly love God by caring for the people in front of us who are hurting. Recently, I was driving to Faith Promise Church. It's about a 5-minute drive from my house, and I was in a hurry, and I had to be there, and I had some responsibilities on a Saturday night, and as I turned up to get on the Pellissippi Highway on this exit, I noticed a car had spun out before me and was now up in the grass, and there was a young lady getting out of the car, and she looked all right, and then there was another car that pulled over, and I noticed an older lady getting out of that car to check on the younger lady, but I was in a hurry because I had responsibilities at church. You know what I'm talking about? I have things I have to do. Pastor Chris wants me to do these things. Are you with me? And so I drove on by and looked at them, and I got on down to the church and I took care of my responsibilities. And then after I had taken care of my responsibilities, I'm standing by down by entrance one of our building, and in walks this older lady. She's around 80 years old. She's pulling her oxygen tank. And she's got, you know, things that she can breathe, and she pulls it over, and she and I have become friends, and she comes over and talks to me, and her granddaughter's on our staff, and she begins to talk to me. She says, Kyle, you know what just happened? I was just getting up on Pellissippi Highway, and on the exit there, this car spun out, and there was a girl, her car was up there, and I got out, and I got my oxygen tank, and I pulled it up in the grass, and I talked to her, see if she was all right, make sure everything was okay, and she says, oh, you don't have to stay up. Called my dad. He's coming to get me. She says, there's no way I'm leaving you. I am staying here till your dad gets here. She's telling me this story, and I just drove by there 10 minutes ago, and I saw the story. And right there, the Holy Spirit said to me, like this story, but boom, in the gut, you are full of religion. You have a religious spirit, Kyle. You actually thought that was beneath you. You had more important things to take care of.
Let me tell you, I went there. I left her. I didn't even go to the service. I went to my office and just had to have some time with the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? Here I am. I work for the church. And this lady who's 80 years old with an oxygen tank, she showed her love for the Father a million times more than me. You see, what Satan wants to do to us, if you don't yet have a relationship with God, he wants you to become religious and miss the relationship and thereby miss life eternal now and in the future with God. If you are a follower of Christ, he wants you to again become religious. Because when you become religious, it's really more about you and rules and regulations and things that make you feel good and your preferences. And why are they doing this at church and doing this? That's not my... Listen, forget all of our preferences. It's all about Jesus. Religion says, no, it's about what I want and what I need. Jesus says, no, I'm King of Kings. I'm Lord of Lords. Worship me. And Satan's greatest weapon to people who aren't yet followers of Christ and to people who are followers of Christ is to get us in a straitjacket of religion. And we miss out on the most loving relationship there is with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. He's calling us today through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's calling you, if you've not started a relationship with God, to come into a relationship with God through Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and be set free from religion. If you already are a follower of Christ, today, Jesus wants to set you free from a religious spirit. And he wants us to show our love for him by loving others. By loving others. Today, I'm pretty confident almost everyone in this room will see someone in need. Let's slow down. Let's listen to the Lord, his still small voice speaking to us. And let's minister love in the name of Jesus. What if we begin to live that way this week? You know what I think would happen? The whole town of Jennings would begin to discover there's a loving Father who gave his Son, who wants a relationship. A relationship. A relationship. Let's stand together. Maybe today you've never started a relationship with God through Jesus. You've never surrendered your life. Jesus died in your place to pay for your sins. He took the full wrath of God on your behalf. In a moment, as the worship team comes, we begin to sing. The pastors will be down here. Just come take one of the pastors by the hand and say, I want to become a Christ follower. I want my sins forgiven. You can move from being just a religious person to having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Come today. But this altar is open, listen, Christians, for all of us, starting with me. Would you ask the Holy Spirit right now? Just asking, do I have a religious spirit? Do I have a religious spirit? And if he says yes, would you just come and humble yourself and say, Jesus, set me free to love God and to love people. To love God, to love people. Father, move in our hearts.